friends and art therapists. This is Yu Zheng, and here on the Thirsty for Art podcast, we talk all about growing as art therapists and professionals and building our own online businesses. Hello, my friends. I am so happy to be here today. Really excited to talk about imposter syndrome for this episode. And I wanted to talk about this and really talk to you guys who are just graduating from art therapy masters, or maybe you are a new art therapist and it hasn't been many years since you've been practicing or working as an art therapist. So I know that I've, you know, dealt with this before, imposter syndrome, and I bet that a lot of you out there who have graduated or who have been working a few years as an art therapist are kind of dealing with imposter syndrome. And I wanted to really go in depth on this today because a lot of us are dealing with it. And actually, it doesn't really just come out when we are in the early career. It actually can come up during mid-career or later careers. It can come up anytime, and honestly. So let's get into this topic today. First of all, I want to kind of explore what is imposter syndrome, you know. So I looked up on the dictionary. There are a lot of different words for it. Imposter syndrome is also known as imposter phenomenon, imposterism, fraud syndrome, or the imposter experience. I think the fraud syndrome, that wording can be pretty accurate. But anyway, in the dictionary itself, it says that imposter syndrome is a psychological pattern in which an individual doubts their talents, skills, or accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a quote-unquote fraud. So this is so interesting because even though you have all the skills, you have the talents, and you've accomplished quite a lot, you feel like, you think that you're not really good enough, you're not really that skilled, or you don't have that talent, or you're not really accomplished. I think that as art therapists and healers, this can show up in many different ways. And one way it can show up is when we feel inadequate or incompetent when applying for jobs. So we might compare ourselves a lot to other clinicians or other therapists or art therapists, and we might not feel like we're competent enough when we're applying for jobs, where we don't have the experience or training, or somehow just kind of lacking in skills in comparison to other people. So some of the ways that you can see if this is manifesting in your job applications and things like that is to ask yourself if you shy away from applying to job postings unless you meet every single educational requirement on the job posting. Another question to ask yourself is, are you constantly seeking out trainings or certifications because you think you need to improve your skills constantly in order to succeed? So always seeking out trainings or certifications, that new certification, that other certification, always kind of enrolling in those things to add some words or letters after your name. Another question to ask yourself is, even if you've been in your role for some time, can you relate to feeling like you still don't know enough? Like you're lacking a lot of knowledge, or something's missing, you feel like you don't know enough. So if you feel like this, or if you find yourself experiencing this, then you might have imposter syndrome. I know I remember when I was constantly job seeking after I graduated from my master's, when I was applying for a lot of different jobs, I felt like I didn't meet so much of the educational requirement or experiential requirement, whatever licensure requirement that the job posting had for like 98% of the time. And funny thing is, you don't. The fact is that you don't need to meet all those requirements on the job posting in order for you to just allow yourself to apply for that position anyway. So it's funny how we feel like we have to kind of overcompensate or feel like we have to be perfect in a lot of different areas in our professional life in order for us to feel like we are qualified or valuable or worthy of a position, of something, of a role or whatever it is, or to see clients. And so at that time when I was feeling like that, you know, applying for jobs, I didn't know that was imposter syndrome, like a facet of imposter syndrome. But now when I look back, I know that was imposter syndrome manifesting itself in my process of applying for jobs. And who knew, you know, how many opportunities I missed because I felt like I wasn't enough in that way, or competent or adequate enough for those postings, job postings. The other way that imposter syndrome really manifests itself, the second way, is that we tend to do it all. Like we tend to, I use this other word again, but we tend to overcompensate and we tend to feel like we need to be superhuman. And along with this, we feel like we shouldn't get any help or support. Like we need to do it on our own. We need to do it all. And a really negative side effect of this is that we do get to end up in burnout mode if we keep on doing this, you know. And I can elaborate on this in a future episode, but a lot of the times burnout stems from imposter syndrome. And it's not something that's really obvious, you know. We don't realize that a lot of the times for a lot of people. I will get into that in a later episode. But yes, imposter syndrome can be a very root cause of burnout. And even if it's not burnout that you experience, you might have this like pressure in yourself to do it all, like to be superhuman, to be like doing a lot of different multiple roles, taking on those roles at work. And this happens because we feel like we are a fraud inside. Like we feel like we're not adequate or competent or skilled or whatever enough inside. So we try to make it up for ourselves, make it up for the people around us, the workplace, the clients around us, and our supervisors maybe, and the organization that we work in. And so we tend to do so many things. We put on a lot of things and we try to become superhuman, which is impossible. So when we have imposter syndrome, and when imposter syndrome manifests in this way, we tend to get really tired and burnt out and really busy. Busy doing all the things. So from an outsider's point of view, you might feel like they might see you as doing a lot of things. Like you are very accomplished and you are multitasking and you are busy, right? But the thing with imposter syndrome and the way it manifests in this case is that you don't feel like that inside. You just feel like you're just on that level of okayness, you know, you're barely touching that normal line, if that makes sense for you, you know, at least it doesn't seem like that from the outside, but inside you might feel like you're just trying to keep it up, stay afloat, you know. But if you dig deeper, it's like, there's not enough, you know, like you can't do enough, you can't be enough, because that imposter syndrome is there. Like it's imposter syndrome is like nothing else outside or external will eliminate that internalized fear of being a fraud. So another big way imposter syndrome shows up in our lives and work as our therapists is that we don't start our own businesses. We don't start what we truly, truly want. And this is because we feel like we're not enough. We feel like we don't have the skills, talents, or accomplishments, or the abilities, whatever it is. So we assume that we can't do the real thing that we really want, or we assume that business is going to be hard and I don't have what it takes to be successful in a business. I'm not confident enough. I'm not resourceful enough. I don't have the resources, or I don't have yada, 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 ABC, to be able to start and grow my business. But the thing is that you are totally capable of starting and growing your business. And if you have experience providing art therapy and working in an organization, being employed, you definitely have learned a lot in that process. And you definitely are able to create something of your own and, you know, see clients on your own and have that power and choice to kind of shape where your work goes or how your work looks like in your everyday life. And so whatever the imposter syndrome is telling you in your mind is pretty much false, right? You know, as the definition said, imposter syndrome is like a belief. It's a belief where you doubt yourself a lot and you don't really accept that you are worthy, you are talented and skilled and accomplished and competent and adequate. So if you are dealing with imposter syndrome right now, know that it's totally common and okay to deal with this. I think it might also be like a rite of passage for a lot of us in this field. And we do just step our feet into this career for the first time after graduating. It's kind of like something that we almost all of us can experience because, you know, we have studied for so long, for years and years, and that art therapy training has been intense, right? And so now that you've all gotten all the training and experience necessary to go out there and work, it's like, it's a whole new world out there. So of course we feel like it's unnatural. Of course we feel like, am I doing this right? Of course we feel like we're not really an art therapist, like other people who have years and years of experience. So know that it's totally okay to feel this way and that there is nothing wrong with you. Really, you are exactly where you need to be. And actually, I think that imposter syndrome can be a gift in a way. It's a gift because it gives you a chance to look at yourself and really own your worth and your value, your competence and your worthiness, really. If we don't look at imposter syndrome in the eye, and if we don't have a dialogue with it, if we don't really process through this, it will always be there for us, right? Trying to remind us that, hey, this is a chance. This is a chance for you to grow. This is a chance for you to look at yourself right now and know that you are totally, wholly worthy just as you are. You're not missing any additional training. You're not missing any additional skills. You know already everything that you need to know to be an art therapist, to work as an art therapist. So I believe that imposter syndrome, if you notice that you are having this right now and you're feeling this and this is manifesting in your life right now, know that this is a chance. This is a chance for you to wholly, totally own where you are right now and a chance for you to trust in your own knowingness, trust in your own experience as a human being that you've accumulated so far in probably 20, 30, 40 plus years, right? As a person living in this world, you have so much experience. You've probably went through a lot. Even just that, without even mentioning about the art therapy training, even that is a lot, right? And so you just being you is like, you are totally competent to be a helper. You are totally okay. You're totally fine. And you can definitely trust yourself in this stage in your career. So, you know, the one affirmation that I want to share with you is that you can value yourself. Trust yourself. You being you is so valuable to other people, to the clients, to the world around you, the family and friends around you. There's no other external thing that you need to go out to get to be adequate or competent. So if I could share a little bit of my process of dealing with the imposter syndrome, as I mentioned, after I graduated, I did a lot of, you know, job searching and really trying to get quote unquote settled as an art therapist. And I always tried to really just go for an art therapy license. And I kind of assumed that that was just what I needed to do without even thinking about it, you know, because everybody does that. Everybody gets a license and that's just how things go. Like without it, you can't do art therapy, things like that. And so I always was trying to just get my license. And I think when I look back on that process, I feel like that was just another way that my imposter syndrome was manifesting itself in my career. Like if I didn't have a license, I feel like I would not have seen myself as a qualified person, as competent enough, as adequate enough to be a healer or just an art therapist, really. So license was just another way for me to trip myself over, you know, just another standard that I put on myself, external standard that I put on myself to try to meet so that I can be okay. You know, I could be good enough or I could be competent enough to be an art therapist. But the thing I realized is that as time went by and I was able to release that pressure, you know, I started to question like about licensure. I started to question this whole process of getting it. What am I doing it for? Who is this for anyway? Is it just to satisfy my own need? Or is it really for other people or something else? And so I really questioned this assumption that I had that I had to get my license. If not, I'm not a competent art therapist or healer. And so I realized that what I truly, truly wanted deep inside of me was not a letter after my name, but really was just making an impact in this world, like just helping someone. That was it, you know? And I thought that maybe this is not just the only way to do it. You know, maybe there are other ways to do it. Maybe this is a time for me to think creatively and be a creative person, really, and kind of shape my own path rather than taking the path that was already just, you know, set out for me and I didn't really think about it that much. I always felt like in my life, if I went with something that I didn't think through, that I didn't cross-check with my heart, with my soul, and I didn't question it, then it didn't turn out well. If I just blindly follow some other people's words or beliefs, then it really didn't work well for me. So I realized this as I was, you know, progressing in my career or just taking my journey in my career as an art therapist, I realized this and I started to create my own path and started to do things online and have an online business. And so as I was doing that, I allowed myself more and more to just embrace myself, like to not think of anything else external, but to just embrace my value as an art therapist, because I'm a human being and I have this intention to help other people. That was a big lesson that I learned myself. Like, it's not about the skills. It's not about what I say to my clients or the treatment plan that I have or how many letters I have after my name or how many trainings I've completed or how skilled I am in the way that I respond to clients in sessions or things like that. It wasn't all about that. It wasn't at all about those things. It was really about just who I am. Just me as a human being here to just help other people. That was the most important thing that determined my value as an art therapist. Just being me and embracing that just being me was totally okay. I was totally competent and adequate and good enough to help other people. And the one thing that I want to share with you that really helped me was to just remind myself that I can just be one or two steps ahead of my client, and that's totally good enough. That I don't have to have all these fancy things. I don't have to learn all these fancy things. I don't have to master all these things. But if I could just be one or two steps ahead of my client, then I am totally fine. Like, that I can be a good helper, that I can help someone in a session. And also to just remind myself that me holding the space for my clients is so awesome. It's the most important thing that I can do as an art therapist. Like, people need that holding space. People need that space to process things, to validate things, to witness things, to slow things down and acknowledge things, right? And so that's what I'm providing. And that's one of the biggest things that I'm providing as a healer, as an art therapist, just providing that space for someone. If you feel like you are kind of inadequate or you feel like you're not doing enough in your sessions with your clients, just know that that's one of the most important things that you can do, to just hold space. To just sit with them, you know, that's big. We don't have that enough in a lot of our lives, a lot of people's lives, right? So, you know, I hope that this episode was helpful. I hope that this episode could uplift your soul a little bit and give you permission to not go after things all the time to fill up your gauge of adequacy or competency. You don't have to do all those things. You don't have to feel like you need to do this, that in order for you to be a good art therapist. You being just you is always, always good enough. So thank you for listening today. I hope that this was helpful again. I have a little announcement for those of you who are listening. I know that some of you might be a new graduate, a new art therapist, a recent grad, right? And I do have something special planned for you. And that is a supportive group for new grads and new art therapists. And I am so excited to kind of lay out all the details for that. But I just still wanted to say that that is coming and I have it planned for January. And I am doing this because, you know, I have struggled myself a lot during those few years that I was working after I graduated from my master's. And those years were really one of the most difficult years in my career and maybe in my personal life too. It was really hard. And I really wanted to have spaces and have community where new grads and new art therapists can come together and really share what's the challenge, and also take care of ourselves and know that we're totally okay and just receive and give support to each other. So that's why I want to offer that support group. It's a creative support group, of course, so it's gonna involve a lot of art making, but I have that plan for January. I'm gonna make a big announcement soon, but yeah, I still wanted to kind of mention that here. If you are interested in this supportive group, then I'm gonna link the page for that supportive group in the show notes here. So check them out. Again, thank you for listening. I will catch you in the next episode. Bye, everyone.